expressed by the hosts, callers, and guests are not those of DGVRadio.com, Envisage Productions LLC, its advertisers, sponsors, or employees.
We're back again at www.mikebroadcastddd.com. And Robbie, let me know. Text me if there's any difficulty. Okay. So we're back in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5. And here's the point I started out with making, and I think I need to make it even more clear. You're listening to the Mike Radio Show on www.mikebroadcastddd.com. And it's also, I'm doing my SITU course, week 74, lesson 9 on wealth, the 21st century weapon. And what I'm showing you here is that there were 9 blessings that Jesus gives to his inner 12 about how the kingdom operates and how the kingdom functions. And he's telling them there are 9 blessings. He's not saying 9 curses. He's not saying the beast, the false prophet, the world coming to an end, the earth going to blow up. It's a blessing of the poor in spirit. For yours is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Matthew 6, verse 6. Matthew 5, verse 6. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. They shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for the righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you, watch this, and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake, for my sake, for my sake, for my sake. It's important. So all of this is centered around Jesus Christ's sake. That means that you're going to be blessed if you embrace the principles of the kingdom. If you're going to prosper and be wealthy towards God, you have to obey the principles that Jesus Christ gives us. And he warned you about persecution. He warned you about people trying to snuff out your light, trying to get rid of you. There's a way to prosper and walk in the wealth of God, that wealth will empower you to advance the kingdom, take care of your family, enjoy life, and preach Christ all at the same time, okay? That's why in chapter 5 of Matthew, verse 12, rejoice, or means dance, or be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. And when people hear heaven, they always think of death. Heaven is now. Heaven is now. Heaven is a spiritual lifestyle in the invisible world. Your reward is great in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you, and you'll also be persecuted. And he goes on to give them what I call a threefold purpose of the church. Number one, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savior, how shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and be thrown under the feet of men. Verse 14 says, they call you the light of the world. So you start from being the salt of the earth to the light of the world second. Now, earth deals with this natural thing that God owns. A world is really a cosmos that was placed on top of the earth by the God of this world. This is why you cannot escape the world if you're a believer. You're supposed to infiltrate the world with the glorious light of the gospel. And light illuminates and salt alters. You are the light of the world, and a city that is set on a mountain cannot be hid. Now, when you start talking about a city and a mountain, you know what you're thinking about during this first century Jewish mindset? The Temple Mount on top of the hill, on top of the mountain. But Christ is calling his spiritual people, you are the city. The body of Christ is the city. Israel towards God is the new city, and it sits on top of the hill and the mountain. And it can't be hid. It must be exposed. Its light must shine. If God wants to evangelize the world and do great things in our age, It must come through the church. Verse 15 says, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bush or on the stand, but on a candlestick. It is given light into all that are in the house. Then he tells you how you're supposed to witness. Look at verse 16. Let your light so shine. He didn't even say turn the light on. I mean, the light is already there. Just let it be. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Which means that witnessing is a little bit deeper than passing out tracts and forcing folks to come to church service. Verse 16 says, let there be light. Same thing he does in Genesis. Let there be light. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Are y'all with me today? So it is possible, this is very key to understand it, it is possible to walk in buildings, walk in the world, and have your light cut off. Famous song in the club, shine a light on it. Shine a light on it. That's exactly what the church is supposed to do. And this is where your wealth is going to come from as you witness, as you put Christ first. He says, let your light so shine before men, not just before Christians, before any man, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So there's something about being seen doing the work of Christ so that people will begin to glorify God the Father. Then what is real wealth, Dr. Michelle Hall? What is real wealth, Miss Crystal? What's real wealth, Sharon Jimmons, in 1981 to graduate to you and her husband's marriage? What is the real wealth? The real wealth is that Christ is glorified. And so as Christ is being glorified, you're able to allow yourself to be a witnessing tool. Now, there are three things that Christ mentions. Salt, light, and a city on top of a mountain. That's what the church is. You are salt, you are light, and you're a city on top of a mountain. And apparently these three things allow people to observe you. So as they see your light shining, they start to glorify God the Father in heaven. It's a real powerful threefold principle that I think we have missed in the body of Christ. You have to realize that real witnessing is not talking. It's just being. B-E-I-N-G, being. We're not human doings, we're human beings, which means we be because that's who we are. I be light because I am light. I be salt because I am salt. I be city on top of a mountain because that's where how God positioned me. So salt and light and none does the talking, Jared. They just be. And as we live the life under Christ and live that life in front of others, people tend to glorify God automatically. This is very important to understand this point of view. And I think what we've missed in this hour is that a lot of us think that if we know a whole lot of scripture, it makes us real deep. But I realized something. I know a lot of scripture quoting saints are mean as rattlesnakes. And just because you occupy a chair in your Sunday morning service doesn't mean you've been to church yet. Church is a people, not a steeple. So Matthew 6 actually teaches you what is the purpose of operating as a kingdom citizen. What does it mean to say, I have the wealth to change the nations? You got to know how wealth is used. You got to know how finances is used. So Matthew 6 really gives you some what I call kingdom attitudes and behavior towards one another, okay? Now, when you get to Matthew 6, now there's a lot of stuff, but I got to show you something. Matthew chapter 6 says it like this.
Hold on. Hold on.
Can you hear me? Hello? Can you hear me? Okay, sorry. In Matthew chapter 6, can you hear me?
Hello? Hello?
Can you hear me? All right, sorry. In Matthew chapter 6, that scripture that we quote, seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, I tend to believe that we don't read the prior verses that come ahead of it. And we're wondering why things are not added to us. Because we're not following Matthew's gospel, chapter 6, 1 through 32. Now, let me back up a little bit because we're talking about the purpose of wealth. And at the end of the day, what people want to know, can I get enough of money and cash and wealth to take care of my family, protect my assets, pay my mortgage, pay my rent, pay my car note, put food on the table, send my kids to college? Can I have enough money to secure my place? These are questions and comments that I believe that the body of Christ have to focus on if you really want to do some true truth ministry. Not this stuff we talk about, you know, that we barely making it and it makes us humble. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a real kingdom ministry where wealth is used to establish thriving kingdom ministries. Okay? Now, I'll show you how wealthy God wants to make the church. And I think we kind of forget the scriptures, but if you look at Matthew 6, verse 29, in fact, look at this. Verse 26 says this, behold, the birds of the air, talking about my sparrows, they don't even sow, neither do they reap. They don't even put inside of a barn, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more better than they? Of course, you talk to some animal economists, they say, nope. But the Bible says we're better than they. But the Bible here says that they don't even sow and reap, and yet I take care of them. So one of the reasons why you could believe that God would take care of you is because you believe in the sowing and reaping principle. And a lot of times, I think the reason why we don't think God take care of us because many of us never sow and we never reap. We play the same game of the Jewish leadership back in Jesus Christ's day, selfish and self-centered. When do you sow? When do you sacrifice? When do you support ministry? The Bible here says this in the verse of Matthew 6, verse 27, which of you taking thought or worrying can add one cubic unto your stature? And why take you thought for clothes? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon, watch this, the richest man in the world, Solomon in all his glory was not dressed like one of these. Now, what is the writer, what is Jesus Christ teaching here? And this is important to get this point. If you seek first the kingdom and obey the scriptures, and challenge yourself to sow and believe God, God would take better care of you than he did Solomon. Now, everybody talked about how wise Solomon was, the richest person in the world. But the question is, why aren't you rich? Why aren't you prospering? Because the scripture says, I'll take care of you better than I take care of Solomon. He said, the lilies of the field, they look so nice, they dress better than Solomon. And if you put the kingdom first, if you put Christ first, if you put his ministry first, the Lord says, I would dress you better than Solomon. He says in verse 30 of Matthew 6, wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Now, who's talking? Jesus. Who's he talking to? His disciples. And who is he comparing them to? Don't be like the Pharisees. Don't be like the Jewish religious rulers who are very ceremonial, but their heart is so far from God. It gives them the key. Verse 31 of Matthew 6. Therefore, take no thought. What should we eat? What should we drink? What about our clothes? What about our mortgage? What about our rent? What about our car notes? What about college tuition? What about this? What about that? What about that? Stop taking those thoughts of worry and distress. I want you to fix your faith on Christ and take kingdom and put it first, and I would dress you better than I dress Solomon. You talk about wealth. You talk about wealthy. Solomon was a wealthy character. But after all these things do the Gentiles seek, but your Heavenly Father knows that you have need of all of these things. But verse 33 is the focus. But seek ye first the kingdom of God, King of Jesus, dome of the government, the kingdom, the Jesus dome of God, and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. And verse 34 really states with, stop worrying about tomorrow. You got enough stuff to be concerned about today. So here's in a nutshell, wealth when it comes to kingdom. Are you seeking the king first? When you get your paycheck, do you try to give offerings first? Are you looking forward to God putting money in your hand to bless a minister, to build a project, to do something to make your community better? That's what it means to seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness. Not God goes around just doing that magic, that potions, tapping you, making you rich, tapping. No, you got to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and these things will be added unto you, which means that God want to make sure you eat well, drink well, dress well, pay your mortgage, pay your rent, pay your bills, and still stay on your game. That's the key to why seek first the kingdom, and all of these things shall be added unto you. And God's not talking about Solomon. Jesus mentioned Solomon. He said, as good looking as y'all think Solomon is, he'll look better than the lilies of the field. I will get you dressed better than him. Who wants that promise? But here's the key. Do you seek first the kingdom of God, or you seek first after the mall or what you want to do? I'm going out on my boo later. I got to spend $100 in drinks. And I don't have time to help you, Pastor Mike. I got $5. Seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. Are you with me? This is such an amazing way of kingdom development. If you seek first the kingdom of God, you'll be able to see God take care of you. If anybody watching today, somebody watching this, seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all of these things shall be stuck to you, add to you, like you're trying to go someplace, and every time you look, something jumps on your clothes and jumps on you. God wants to add things to you. I'm talking about kingdom principles. I'm talking about some things about becoming wealthy towards God. Wealthy towards God. Are you with me? Wealthy towards God. Now watch this. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. So part of a wealthy person is, how much do you give towards ministry? Do you tithe? Do you give offerings? Do you understand the purpose of money is to help the kingdom of God advance? The church should have the wealth so she can buy a property to rebuild communities. The church should have the wealth to open up Taco Bells, open up restaurants. The church should have the wealth to build up corporations so when folks leave out of church on Sunday, they got some place to eat. We got to change our concept of wealth. It's not just money for me, my four, no more. I'm interested in improving the quality of life in my community, all right? Go over to Second Corinthians chapter 9, and I'm showing you our different biblical principles that will make you wealthy towards God, all right? Watch this. 2 Corinthians 9:6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which sows bountifully shall reap bountifully. Here's the Michael McDuffie Patterson version of 2 Corinthians 9:6. If you give cheap, you get cheap. If you give big, you get big. That's a law. And Paul is asking the people to support him. All right? That's what he's saying. I need you to financially support me. And then he goes on to say in verse 7, and every man according as he purposes in his heart, to let him give, not grudgingly or necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And look what God promises saints who put his ministry first and sow seed and get involved in the financial support of ministry. And God is able to make all grace abound or run towards you, that you may always have an all-sufficiency and all things may abound to every great work. And he starts quoting Psalms 112. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, and his righteousness remain forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Now he that giveth seed to the sower. So part of becoming wealthy towards God is, do you believe God in prayer to give you seed to sow in ministry? Because that's what he's teaching. We've been asking God to give us money for our stuff, and what God is saying, I give seed to the sower. Don't eat your seed, sow the seed. Some of y'all eat your tithe. You eat your offerings. And I can't support pastor. I'm already doing my own thing. You're eating up your seed. Put the seed in the ground, and the more seed you sow, the bigger and the larger the harvest. And look what it says in verse 8. And God is able to make all grace run towards you, that you always have an all-sufficiency and all things may abound to every good work. Are y'all with me? Are y'all listening to me? This is very important to understand this. There is an abounding of grace and mercy that will chase you down if you learn to put finances first for the kingdom of God. That's very important. That's very important when it comes to the things of the kingdom. Do you love God enough to cheerfully give to the ministry? Do you really appreciate God to the point that you say, I put God first? So that's what it comes down to. How much you love God versus the love of money. I'll go back to Matthew's gospel. I want to go back to chapter 6. And watch this. Talk about wealth. Talk about wealth. Now, watch this in verse 24 of Matthew 6. And keep in mind, verse 24 comes before verse 33. And it just seems like Jesus Christ quotes this scripture like out of nowhere, but there's no place out of nowhere. You have to study the prior 23 verses. He says in Matthew 6:24, no man can serve two masters. But either you will hate one and love the other, or else you will hold to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Everything up to this point finds itself at the basement level of this verse. He's trying to teach you out of everything he said. You can't serve God and mammon at the same time. Because when God commands you to do something, you can't say to God, I can't afford it. I can't sell. I can't give. Lying. It's not true. You just don't want to. You don't want to sow. People do what they want to do, majority of them. You can't serve God and mammon. I need you to put God first, and he'll tell you what to do with the mammon. That's what it means to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Because you want to use your wealth to transform neighborhoods into thriving kingdom communities. You want to use your wealth to send some child to college. You want to use your wealth to buy your neighbor a new car. You want to use your wealth to support ministries. Some can get $10,000, some can get $20,000. If we really were to practice Matthew 6:33, we love to quote that one. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. But after asking folks, well, is your body full of light? Do you pray right? Fast right? Give right? Is your light shining? Is your salt altered? See, all of them play a role, in the operation of the kingdom. It's not like you do everything wrong and hope that God do everything right. There's a cooperation between God and man. And don't be listening to some of the stuff on Facebook folk be saying. There is a responsibility of believers that must cooperate with God's plan. That's why it says, give and it shall be given unto you. That's a law. You set something in motion. God gave Jesus. That was a seed. And when they crucified him and lift him high, their harvest was us. He rewarded us right out in the opening. I'm talking about wealthy towards God and wealthy towards the kingdom. Go to Acts. Go to Acts. Go to Acts. And go to Acts chapter 4. We're talking about wealth. It's wealthy. Hello, author Jolanda Thomas. God bless you and your husband. Go to Acts chapter 4. And the Bible here says this. Verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart, one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of their things which possessed was his own. They had all things in common. And with great power gave his apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as they were possessors of lands or houses sold them, and bought the prices of the things that they sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet. And distribution was made to every man according as he had need. Look at that. So money was collected to be distributed to empower a kingdom community, not just for the pastor to get a salary and get his tithes and offerings. It was a community thing so they can distribute their finances to help out the needs of this ever-growing Jewish community that became Christians, because many of them were cut off from their Jewish inheritance when they called on the name of the Lord. And so Paul and this church has a radical economic development program that's bring our resources together and redistributed them amongst the needy saints who were once Jewish and became Christians, and now their families cut them off. I need people today to start thinking as wealthy soldiers. Wealthy soldiers who understand of the sacrifice of tithing and giving and sowing seed. It says that they had enough of money to wipe out everybody's debt and make sure they distribute them according to every man's needs. And the Bible here says in verse 37, having land sold it, they bought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. This is the wealth I'm talking about in the 21st century if the church was really supposed to do kingdom. People that had land sold the land, turned the physical assets to the liquid assets, and they bought the money and they laid it at the apostles' feet. And of course, Ananias and Sapphira try to be slick, keep part of the price, and then try to get another portion for distributing greed. And you know what happened? Ananias and Sapphira both died in local church services, because they're trying to get over on the system, and Christ spoiled them, and they dropped dead. So watch this. Verse 9, and Peter said unto her, how is it that you have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried our husband at the door should carry thee out. She fell down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came and found her dead and carried her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon the church and upon as many as heard these things. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all one accord at Solomon's porch. Are you with me? And the rest, thus no man joined himself to them, but the people magnified them. And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitude, both men and women. Notice how the increase of finances also increased disciple making. Stop thinking it's so bad for the church to prosper. She has to prosper to build community. She has to prosper. And the prosperity is God's message. Abraham rich, Isaac rich, Jacob rich. Abraham wealthy, Isaac wealthy, Joseph wealthy. I mean, Jacob wealthy. All of them are wealthy, Gail Sumter. So stop thinking church folks are supposed to be broke and pastors should be the poorest people. Where is that example? That's not the biblical tone. God prospered them, not for the purposes for their lusts, but to open up doors for other people. Something happens when someone comes in your community with their own sense of wealth and power and shake things. As a matter of fact, Mick Jagger just put on a great show, I think, at the Metro Stadium in Newark. He gave TikTok Diner a major boost of advertising. He said, we went to a place in Clifton on Route 46 called the TikTok Diner. You know how many people was at that concert? Probably close to 80, 90,000 people. And for him to say he ate at that breakfast restaurant, they gave him free advertisement. Understand the power of wealth. Wealth is your assets, all you own, your opportunities, all the stuff that you have disposal with. You can give them out and help people. That's the wealth of the kingdom. I need church folks to move from money and move to wealth. Gail, you got some wealth? Arthur, Jolanda Forster, you got some wealth? Dr. Michelle Hall, where your wealth? Sharon Jimmins, where your wealth? What do you own? What is at your disposal? You're able to give it to the kingdom. What up, Joanne? What up, Kenny? What up, Trina? Sow your seed. You're going to practice kingdom by putting them first. Seek ye first. The kingdom of God. And it's righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. Now, it's 2:49. I got 6 minutes. I'm showing you the purpose of wealth is that God gives you the power to establish some strong assets, to take care of your family, take care of your needs. But at the end of the day, it is helped to build the church so souls are saved, disciples are made, and you're able to see God take care of you. I'm trying to talk about the real meaning of wealth. It's not counting ducats and counting dollars. It is a mindset. It's a mindset that says, I got to help empower these people. I got to help them. I got to do what I got to do to get them to where they got to go. And then able to understand that you can't help everybody. But those that God sends your way, those certain ones, that is where your wealth can be used to empower and help people. All right? Now watch this. Watch this. Go to the Old Testament of Joshua. Joshua chapter 2, verse 3 says, and Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan. He and all the children of Israel had lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officials were through the host. And they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord, your God, and the priests of the Levites bearing it, then shall you remove from your place and go after it. So we're going to possess the land. We're going to build gated community. We're going to use our wealth to build a city called Goshen so my people can come live there. Many of you watching me, you're going to suffer later because your mother, your father, your sister and brother are going to get older and they cannot take care of themselves. Where are they going to go? Where's your gated community? You know, put your folk in a home someplace? I'm here to let you know we got to build gated communities. We can take care of our aging mothers, fathers, and extended family. I need some real wealth, not just $5 and $10 wealth. Real wealth, I can go and purchase a Taco Bell and buy up the spot. This is what the church is supposed to do. Let me show you this. And I said this last show, but let me just repeat it again. Building wealth is important, and a lot of times when you get a salary and get some consistency, that gives you benefits, but that salary should be put someplace, a portion of it, to go towards your vision and your dream. And some folks' vision and dream is to work in law enforcement. It's all they ever dreamed to be is a cop. I got in my hand right now a flyer, and it's, of course, it's not just a job, it's a career. Become a Patterson police officer, starting salary, $33,800. Health and life insurance, community policing, specialized training opportunities, traffic law enforcement, criminal and major vehicle, registration investigations, drug and interdiction investigations, special deployment opportunities, emergency response teams. You know, when we did this thing the other day, and I think it's great that the Patterson Police Department is trying to get Pattersonians to become officers. This is wealth. This is stuff the church is supposed to be working on. What we work on is the pulpit and the preaching style and the sermon, man. I'm going to tell you something. It makes a better deal for the church to partner with police officers, sheriff officers. If you're interested in being a police officer, you can call 973-321-1174, 973-321-1174, and tell them that Reverend McDuffie sent you. You want to become a Patterson police officer. What a great way. This is creating wealth. Why can't the church get together the police department and send folks to become officers? Let's create wealth. Let's create a system where we can support our community and de-escalate crime and increase righteousness. Speaking the truth here. Speaking the truth. I'm trying to create wealth for many of you. If you just step into our challenge, I'm asking 30 people to sow a $100 seed so I can close our two cabinets and open up our community center. I'm asking 30 people to sow a seed of 100. I'm going to ask author Jolanda Thomas Foster, can you sow a seed of 100? Gail Renee Sumter, can you sow a seed of 100? Jared Punk Heinzman, can you sow a seed of 100? Dr. Michelle Hall, you already do what you got to do all the time. You're consistent. Whatever you can do, I appreciate it. Sharon Jemison, can you sow a seed of 100? We're asking 30 people to do it. I got two people today did it so far. An A&S, and I'll also call a Sister C, saw me in person and put the 100 in my hand. That's two people, President Crystal. Two people and 28 to go. Will you be one of my 28? Will you be one of my 28? I got to begin to close out the GDB radio. I want to thank you for tuning in to www.mikebroadcastgdd.com. You've been watching, of course, SITU, and I've been teaching week 74, lesson 9 on wealth, the 21st century weapon. I'm going to go 5 more minutes on Mike Live. I got to go off this. Sunday morning service, 9:30 a.m. Please inbox if you want to attend. I'm believing at 11 o'clock, someone's going to call me in the preacher of their church, so be in a group with me. And I want to thank you, okay, for listening to www.mikebroadcastgdd.com. Catch you next Saturday.
Tri-State Health and Wellness. If you're searching for a doctor who truly cares about your health and well-being, contact Dr. Alex at Tri-State Health and Wellness. Dr. Alex specializes in treating law enforcement professionals and their families and features special hours to accommodate alternating work schedules. All necessary testing can be performed in their friendly and comfortable environment. Contact Tri-State Health and Wellness, located in Fairlawn, New Jersey. Call 201-791-7771. That's 201-791-7771. Dr. Alex at Tri-State Health and Wellness, a premier sponsor of the BlueMagazine.com and DDVRadio.com. Kale Orthopedic Center, high-performance care for bodies in motion. Kale Orthopedic Center is proud to provide comprehensive orthopedic care for the men and women of law enforcement and their families. Contact Kale Orthopedic Center at 201-447-3880. Kale Orthopedic Center, high-performance care for bodies in motion. If you're looking for a new vehicle or a certified used vehicle, look no further. Visit Wayne Ford, New Jersey's law enforcement preferred dealer, featuring the largest inventory of pre-owned certified vehicles. Wayne Ford is conveniently located on Route 46 in Wayne, New Jersey. Contact Wayne Ford today. Toll free 888-349-6857. That's 888-349-6857. The Blue Magazine, the nation's unfiltered and independent voice for law enforcement. The Blue Magazine's main objective is to strengthen the ties that bind us together as brothers and sisters in blue, featuring relative, helpful, and interesting articles while publishing the true and uncensored stories of the men and women in law enforcement who have taken the oath to protect and serve. Visit thebluemagazine.com. That's www.thebluemagazine.com. If you're a police officer, you know that visibility is a key safety issue. Now it's time for you to be the light in the darkness with the world's first patented rechargeable LED LED identifier, body beacon. Whether it be traffic enforcement or search and rescue, increased visibility is key to your safety. Inform your purchasing department about body beacon. Visit rescueleaders.com or call 862-221-9069. Homebridge Financial Services, offering mortgages for everyday heroes. Contact Michelle Hendershot at Homebridge Financial Services. Call 973-464-7119. That's 973-464-7119. Are you looking to purchase a home in Florida? For more information, contact Jenny Ramirez. Call Jenny Ramirez at La Rosa Realty. Jenny Ramirez has been finding homes for law enforcement officers for over 15 years. Call 321-946-8555 or visit jenny.larosarealty.com. Are you looking for the best dentist and dental care services near you? Discover the Silverstrom Group Difference. Conveniently located in Livingston, New Jersey, the Silverstrom Group is the winner of the Best Dentist Award for 5 years in a row and voted New Jersey Top Dentists for 2018. Providing exceptional and compassionate care, the Silverstrom Group. Call 973-992-3990. That's 973-992-3990. If you're a member of the law enforcement profession and are looking to establish long-lasting business relationships with businesses that are blue-friendly, it's time to visit visitblue.com. Visitblue.com features some of the best doctors, lawyers, realtors, as well as other service providers, such as home improvement and financial services. If you are looking for reliable, trustworthy service providers, visit visitblue.com. That's www.visitblue.com. If you're looking for the widest variety of talk programming, entertainment, news, and information, you've found it. DDVRadio.com features programs such as Uncle Floyd Radio, The Wise Guys Show, and Blue World Uncensored. DDVRadio.com, the official radio network of VisitBlue.com and TheBlueMagazine.com.